Who do you think now has the advantage, if we call it, of the backup centers?
I think, Jason, you've got to look at Miami. You know, you look at someone like Udonis Haslem and Mari Stoudemire. That's veteran savvy, that's veteran depth, maybe a bit of veteran craftiness, too, that they have. It's going to be interesting if the Raptors, Bismack Biyombo, who, although it hasn't been official yet, but one can gather, given that he was starting in place of Valanciunas during the year when Valanciunas was having hand problems, that if Bismack Biyombo gets into foul trouble early, who do the Raptors go to, say, if Biyombo has two fouls early on in the first quarter? So I give the advantage slightly to Miami. But if the Raptors continue to have a rejuvenated Kyle Lowry back, we saw what he was able to do in Game 3. This is a real big opportunity for the Raptors to really seize control of this series. Even without Valanciunas, if they can get that offense moving, maybe small ball will help them out as much as Valanciunas has been so important. If they can get Lowry and DeRozan going, they might just have enough to power through a 3-1 series lead.
Matthew Schneider from TSN joins us in advance of Game 4 between the Raptors and the Heat. We know the Raptors obviously lead 2-1. What type of storm or blitz do you expect the Heat to throw out the Raptors in the first quarter? Because obviously the Heat are going to be playing some desperate basketball tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Majo. And I think what you're going to see is they're going to go right at Bismack Biyombo. Bismack is an unbelievable rebounder, one of the best defenders the Raptors have. But when he's played, sometimes he might get into foul trouble. And, you know, this is a guy with so much strength and power. He gets down low under the rim. And the way that playoff basketball can be called sometimes, a little bit of a shove, a little bit of a nick here, and all of a sudden you've got 2-3 fouls early. So not to repeat myself, but that is really big for the Heat tonight. Udonis Haslem, as I mentioned already, but he was saying that he doesn't mind getting into a scrap earlier, getting bloody. I think he's ready for some ugliness maybe underneath the rim, but it does so much for the Raptors because without the Hassan Whiteside there to block, one of the best shot blockers in the NBA, without him there, you might see DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry driving the lane a little bit more. And defensively, you know, the Raptors don't give up much because Jonas Valanciunas, for all the great things he had done in the series, wasn't necessarily their primary defender down low. So I don't see much to change defensively for the Raptors. Offensively, though, it might turn out to be a shot-for-shot kind of game between Wade and Goran Dragic. And for the Raptors, hopefully Kyle Lowry again and DeMar DeRozan.
Matt, we chatted over the weekend before Game 3, and I want to get your thoughts on Kyle Lowry, who dropped 33 points in a victory for the Raptors. How important was that game for Kyle Lowry to kind of get the monkey off his back and have a great offensive game that Raptor fans know he's capable of?
Yeah, it was so crucial, and now I think it turns the pressure just a little bit on DeMar DeRozan, because when they both score over 20 points, it's a very small sample size, albeit, but when they both score over 20 points, the Raptors are undefeated in the playoffs. Now, that's 3 games over 3 years and 4 playoff series. So it's still, though, an indication, and I don't think anybody would disagree, that getting them both clicking at the same time offensively would really change the scope of this series very quickly, because, you know, Dwayne Wade was unbelievable in Game 2. Game 3, but I don't necessarily think you're going to expect him to hit threes all the time. That's just not his MO, and at this point in his career, he may not want to be relying on him too much, but you also have to be worried if you're the Raptors. You know, Joe Johnson hasn't necessarily played up to the level that is expected of him since about halfway through Game 2, so you have to expect, if you're the Raptors, you're going to have to weather a storm at some point with Joe Johnson, Dragic, and Dwayne Wade coming right at you, and that might be tonight. And if the Raptors can't come out of here 2-2, we might be looking at a very long series again.
Matt Schenetti joins us from TSN. Now, Matt, Kyle Lowry really in the third quarter is when he took over that game, and his body language and everything, you could just see him being confident in the threes. You know, he was shooting a few long threes and draining them. And, you know, we saw DeRozan have 2 big 30-point games, but then he kind of fell right back into a little bit of a funk. Did you have a chance to talk to Lowry, and what does he feel he did different in Game 3 that he has to maintain in Game 4 not to go back to shooting sub 40%?
Jason, I think it's clear for Lowry and really the entire Raptors team now that Lowry, whether he puts his shots up and he gets them or not, the way he works is when he's got the ball in his hand, when the playbook is running through him, when he can make the calls and call his own plays and be confident in taking a chance whether he makes it or not, that's when you know that he's playing at his best. You don't want him hesitating. You don't want him, as he said after game one, passing up looks, passing up shots because he's confident he's going to make them. You want Kyle Lowry pulling up beyond the arc and giving it a try and going for the shot, because that just shows the confidence, that shows the arrogance, that pit bull style that's in his game. You want that out of Kyle Lowry. And for DeMar DeRozan, now without Hassan Whiteside in there, you want him driving the lane. You want him getting into the basket, because he's going to get his points at the free throw line predominantly if he's not getting them in contested shots. And I know a lot of Raptors fans have been frustrated with the kind of contested shots that DeRozan has been going for and missing for the large part of the playoffs. But you also need him playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. As Dwayne Casey said, this team, the Raptors, can live and die based upon the kind of tough shots that Lowry and DeRozan take. They don't mind that. They just want them having the confidence and the arrogance to take them all the time.
And one last one for you. Terrence Ross really struggled in turnovers more than anything in that game. Only playing 18 minutes, led their team in turnovers. Why is he ahead of Powell all of a sudden, where, you know, in the first round, I thought Powell was the better player? Do you think we'll see more of Powell? Why is Ross getting more floor time in your eyes?
I think in the first couple of games, Jason, you saw Terrence Ross, his offense really picking up. And I think with some of the turnovers that he's had, that might push him down Dwayne Casey's pecking order. Remember, the driver was attention back to Game 7. Terrence Ross came in, played 5 minutes in Game 7 against the Pacers. Norm Powell came in and I believe played around 30 minutes, because Powell comes in. Not only was he shooting threes, but he was just such a great lockdown defender. It's all in Terrence Ross's hands. If he comes out, he's great from beyond the arc. If he's playing well defensively, then Casey will give him all the minutes that he deserves. If he's not, he has no problem going to Norman Powell, because Norman Powell has proven that at the moment he's never too big for him.
Well, Matt, enjoy the game tonight. Should be an electric atmosphere. We appreciate your time.
Take care, boys.